Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today, and I hope that you are having a great day. We're having a beautiful day here. We've had some rain over the past couple of days that we desperately needed, and God has sent us two very good days worth of rain, and I think I'm even hearing it begin to rumble a little bit in the distance, so may actually have to cut this short a little bit. But we're just so thankful for all that God has given to us, for His love and His grace, for Him giving us this opportunity to meet together like this, for Him equipping and calling Jonathan and Nikki with their skills and abilities to make all of this possible. But as we think about our Lord and all He's done for us, and as we prepare our hearts to meet with Him and to hear from Him today in His Word, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for the day that You have given to us. Lord, for Your faithfulness. Lord, Your goodness, Father, the rain that You've sent to us, Father, all the blessings that You've showered upon us, most of all, O God, the spiritual blessings of salvation, Lord, adoption as Your children, Lord, a relationship with You, Father, the fact that You want us to know You. Fathers, we open Your Word today. Help us to see You, help us to know You, help us to grow in You, we pray, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the late A.W. Tozer once observed that what a man thinks about God is the single most important thing about him. And he went on to specify that what a man really thinks, not the position that his church takes, not the doctrinal statement of whatever denomination he's a part of, not the official Sunday school answer, but what he thinks in his heart about God is the single most important thing about him. Because it will be out of that concept of God that his value system will be established, that his goals and priorities will be created and established and pursued, that how he thinks about and evaluates the various parts of life and living, it is that concept of God that will in fact mold his soul, if you will. Well, if our concept of God is that important, we have to ask ourselves, well, what is God like? And most importantly, what has God said about himself? Obviously, as we open his word, it is God revealing, ultimately God revealing himself to us. And as we come now to Psalm 99, we see some key attributes that God has revealed about himself that we need to understand, not just with our minds, but with our heart, that this is who God is, and base our lives upon it. As we look at this psalm, and it's a relatively short psalm, it's only 9 verses long. As we look at this psalm, the first thing that we see is his position. That is the position that God has. Look at verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, he's exalted above all the peoples. We look at this passage. And it makes it very clear. It says, the Lord reigns. God is, in fact, the absolute ruler. He is infinite in his power. You know, one of the weaknesses, problems of contemporary Christianity is the lower view of God that it has. And everything and all the problems with the church really find their root back at that. Because if you have a low concept of God, you'll live down to that level. And yet when we open God's Word and we see this great God, everything changes when we begin to look at Him. And as we look at this passage, we're reminded of the fact that He reigns. He is sovereign and providential. Sovereign means He has the right to rule over everything and has the power to do so. Providential means the fact that He actually uses that power and that authority. This passage makes it very clear He's actually above the angels. We often think about angels, their power, their intelligence, their wisdom, so on and so forth, but He is over them. And look at the response here. Let the whole earth shake. You know, you think about a military recruit, his first day of service. Not only to see in front of his drill instructor, but imagine some circumstance where he actually finds himself in front of the base commander, if you will. Imagine the shaking, the intimidation that's there. And yet that is nothing in comparison to this great God that we are before. Now, why is it important to have that concept of God? Well, beginning with salvation. It is that God, this great almighty God, to whom we give an account to, that we must be reconciled to for our eternal destiny. It is this God that we need to trust as believers. And you think about it, this God? What problem could we ever have that this God cannot handle? What decision can we face that this God cannot guide us through? What about in our worship? It is this God that will cause us to have that awe, that wonder, that mystery, that actually drives us to our knees and to look up with humility and adoration. Tozer's right. What we think about God's the most important thing about us. And we need to understand His position, this great God that He is. But not only do we see His position, but we see His person. And that is how He is. If we were talking about a human being, we'd say His personality, and that's not wrong to talk about that in terms of God. We just normally don't do that. But you think about His person. Look at verses 3 through 5. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. Holy is He. The strength of the king loves justice. You have established equity. You've executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. You think about some of the key attributes there that God uses to talk about Himself. He talks about His greatness, talks about how He is awesome and strong, just, equitable, righteous, and holy. What an incredible God. And you think about those qualities. Here is a being that you can completely, totally trust. Because every part of His character, I'm talking about from the deepest part of His character out, He is good, He is right, He is just. There are no hidden parts in His character. There's not, quote, so to speak, a bad side of Him. There's not a level of Him that, you know, up to that point, everything's fine and good, but when you get to know that part, it's not good, not with God. Here's a one who's absolutely perfect from the inside out. And you might think, well, you know, that certainly is true, but why is that important? You think about being able to trust God for the promises that He's made. You know, we all love to look at biblical promises. You know, we encounter a need or a problem. We go to the Scriptures and look for a promise that deals with that. And yet what really enables us to trust that promise is the character of the person who made the promise. The reality is, no matter who you're talking about, a promise is only as good as the character of the person who made it. Here is one whose character is absolutely flawless. One whose character is absolutely perfect. Who by His very nature is trustworthy, faithful, true. We are before a God who, because of His person, is worthy of our absolute trust. And so we see His position, we see His person. But notice as well, we see His performance. And by that I mean what God has done up to this point. You know, I remember a few years ago having to purchase appliances. And it was a frustrating experience because I, not knowing anything about them, did probably what a lot of you do, begin reading reviews. And it was so frustrating because it seemed like no matter which manufacturer you looked at or which line of products that manufacturer had, when you looked at the reviews, somehow it always seemed like somewhere between about 10 and 15% of those who reviewed the product said it was the worst thing that had ever been made. It quit working 2 days after it was delivered, and the company wasn't standing behind their product. It didn't matter which one. And very soon it became a choice not so much of looking for the best, whichever appliance it was at that time, to almost just trying to pick out which one was the least worst. How different it is with God. God's reliability rating is perfect. There are no bad reviews for God because He never fails. You think about verses 6 through 8. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a pillar, in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. In every situation, God moved in absolute perfection. He met their needs. He gave them victory. He chastened, disciplined them. He forgave them. He restored them. God always works according to his perfection. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. He carries out his warnings. We can trust that God will do exactly what he says he will do. I know many of you are baseball fans. We have a God who for all of eternity has batted 1,000. And he's batting 1,000 today. And he will forever bat 1,000. He is absolutely trustworthy. His performance shows it. We have a God who keeps every part of his word, every promise and every warning. But we can trust him. His performance shows it. You know, no wonder, verse 9, exalt the Lord our God, worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. When we see our God and his position, his person, his performance, we'll worship him, we'll adore him, we'll revere him, we'll trust him, and every single part of our life will show it. Let's go to him in prayer again. Father, you are the God who rules and reigns, who is perfect in your character, whose performance, O God, is faultless, without blemish, perfect. Father, help our lives to be based upon, O God, you and who you are. Give us an understanding to see you, O God, clearer and clearer in your greatness and your glory and your wonder and your majesty. And Father, may our lives show it. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.